handle the academy. Chop my big chest where the best is a philosophy. Drinking at lunch brings verbal skills like a sucker punch. Woke up to CMOC B.
It was with my friends, we're online, we're playing video games, and we start talking about Skeletor, something I do more than I should. I like fictional characters, and I like thinking about them thoroughly. Skeletor is an interesting character because Skeletor... Well, the question, let's put the question out there that started this whole thing off, which led me to a point where I went and did some actual research about Skeletor. Skeletor is a very buff man. I have to make sure, because I don't know how much my audience would actually not know Skeletor. I know that show has been rebooted multiple times, but none of those were super popular. Do you know who He-Man and Skeletor is a question. So I will be explaining stuff that if you know it, hit the little fast forward button on your podcast player. But if you don't, you know, you do need an explanation. He-Man. Hero of Eternia.
My apologies. I should have said Adam, the milquetoast version of He-Man pre-transformation.
Goes around, he's like this guy who's really sort of fey, but very buff. I think he would be, he's not a twink. He's not a bear. He's a very buff man who's clearly a bottom. Then he gets out his big sword, holds it in the air, and says, by the power of Grayskull, and then turns into a top. I'll tell you that right now. His clothes change. He gets a big sort of strappy thing on, and he's still jacked. He's jacked in both instances, but his attitude changes. Let's just put it that way. And he becomes He-Man. Skeletor, this was back in cartoons when they basically had one body and they like repainted it in the cartoon. So He-Man was a white dude. Skeletor is a dark bluish color. He actually lightens up in later reboots, which is interesting. The problem is Skeletor has a skeleton head. And so what is he? Is he a skeleton with a buff body? Or is it some kind of like, it's a human with a skull head for some reason? So what happened? What is he? So the original... Oh, and so the question that came up was, would it be appropriate for Skeletor to have intimate relations with a corpse? Because if he's a dead body because he's a skeleton, then him having relations with another dead body wouldn't be morally offensive. Or is he a buff dude with a skeleton head and then him having relations with a corpse is not acceptable, morally speaking. But then we would have to talk about his morals. And this led me down sort of a rabbit hole of how, what is Skeletor and where is his morality? And that was an interesting question. So what is he? In the original toy, so this is back in the 80s when they made the toy first and then the cartoon was essentially a 30-minute advertisement for the toy. If you bought the toy for Skeletor and any of the He-Man products in the original toys, you got a little sort of mini comic with it, which gave you some sort of background on the character. It's not like a Pokemon card with just like stats. This was like a little story, little background. Now, Skeletor's story just basically said he's a demon from another dimension and then started talking about how he hated He-Man, how he hated Eternia, wanted to, you know, suck the magic out of the world, wanted to take over the world, that kind of stuff. Demon from another dimension wasn't explained very deeply, but it would justify him having a skull head and a very buff human body. But there are reboots of the story, and they sort of alter it. So basically, the people who made the toy, the people who made the cartoon, and the people who made the reboots had an inconsistent canon. And this is very frustrating because then we have to figure out, like, what is true? Because one story is that he was actually Hordak, which is She-Ra's enemy, the Horde, invaded from another dimension to Eternia and left Skeletor behind. Now, they took She-Ra from Eternia back to the dimension they come from, which is how She-Ra ended up there. So She-Ra is He-Man's cousin, I believe. But that meant that Skeletor was left behind or abandoned by the people who brought him here. He then ends up being angry at both the people of Eternia, who reject him for who he is, and angry at the Horde, who left him behind because they were supposed to be supporting him the whole time. This was essentially his family abandoned him. There's another story that he's actually the next in line of succession, but the king didn't want him to become king because he has blue skin, racism, and so pushed him aside and made his son the king, who became He-Man's father. So that would make Skeletor He-Man's uncle. In one of the reboots, they have someone throw acid in his face, but that doesn't give you a skull head. Maybe he did some magic to repair it, because magic is real in this universe. So that's something could be done to stop it, or, you know, put an extra, I guess, a shell on the outside of his face. I did notice while sort of looking at clips of the cartoons that the skull exterior of Skeletor is vaguely flexible, and this is how they give some expression. So he can look sad because his eye sockets will turn down. He can look happy because his teeth will go up and his cheekbones will go up. So he has the skull that is resting above his incredibly buff body is vaguely flexible. Now, I don't know if that was on purpose, because it's not really bone, or if it's just because we have to give him some sort of expression and it's a cartoon and nobody cares, until like 20, 30 years later when some dude does a podcast and he clearly cares because of inconsistencies piss him off. So he's going to go through all the inconsistencies and try to figure out what the fuck Skeletor actually is. This was a time, Star Wars, when all the bad guys were somehow vaguely related to the hero, and it was like a big surprise. I don't remember it ever being revealed in the show as being canon or factual. So this is like someone had this idea, hey, Darth Vader was Skywalker's dad, let's make Skeletor He-Man's uncle. Because there's actually a clear line of succession in the He-Man story, so he can't actually be his father. But he could be his uncle, but they never seem to have actually dealt with that in any real way. Also, I have very bad allergies. I get allergies every year. It's very frustrating. I take a lot of medication for allergies. The interesting part about Skeletor is that there was once a time when he created monsters, and then He-Man used some magic to turn those monsters into flowers, and Skeletor was defeated because of a severe pollen allergy. So all the flowers started like shooting pollen out. And then he got such bad allergies, he actually had to retreat. So he was defeated by allergies. I actually know how that feels. But that would imply that within the skull on Skeletor's head, there are sinus cavities that are, like mine, full of mucus and liquid and overreact to pollen. So that to me implies that there's a skull, a fleshy part, and then a skull on the outside. So there are some depictions of Skeletor where the skull is floating above the body. And then there's somewhere there's the body and then like a little orange link between the skull. So usually he has a hood up and you can't see into the hood. So you can't see how that skull is connected. So if it's just floating above it, it would just be magic. But then if it's just a skull, he wouldn't have allergies. You can see the problem where I'm getting into. I get into the minutiae of this. And the more minutiae I get into, the more conflicts that come up. So what they need for the whole He-Man thing is me to sit down and be like, I will be the arbiter of what is true for all of Eternia. And I will make your stories consistent from now on. And I will take facts from previous episodes and I will blend them together. But I can tell you that there is fleshy stuff inside there, or he wouldn't have allergies. But what we actually have found is that he's inconsistent. We don't know what Skeletor is. So the morality of Skeletor having intimate relations with a corpse is very difficult to determine based on his physicality. So we have to go into his morality. So then I looked at some of his plots to see where his morality falls. We know he's the bad guy, and this is the 80s, and in the 80s, they were not exactly subtle with their bad guys. Their bad guys were all just the cliche, I hate everybody, I hate everything, I want to destroy everything. I want to be the leader of the world, even if I have to destroy the world, and there's no world left for me to be the leader of, which I, as I grew older, realized that was really stupid, because what's the point of being the leader of a world that no longer has anything in it that doesn't exist? That has always bothered me about the I want to destroy everything. It really bugs me. Fucking Resident Evil and the T-Virus thing. Because the T-Virus kills 98% of the stuff in the world. But the Umbrella Corporation is a company. They need people to sell product to. I've actually gone off on this rant multiple times. It frustrates me to no end because, like, you know, parasites don't make sense because they kill the host. So if you kill the host, you can't survive anymore. Umbrella is essentially like the parasite. It's killing off the human population, but it's a company with no audience to sell to, no consumer pool, is no longer a company. So what was the point? Now, I know there's science and evolution and stuff that all goes into the T-Virus as well, but the presidents of the company would be like, let's cut this research off because we don't want to kill everyone on it. If they were going to create the virus and then sell the vaccine, that could work out, but I don't actually remember that coming up in any of the stories. Some of Skeletor's schemes. So to judge his morality, we have to look at some of the schemes he came up with. One of them was that he created half-size Skeletors. So if Skeletor is 6 feet, I don't know. They're buff dudes, so like you could either imagine they're like giants, like 7 foot tall, or being sort of weightlifters, they might actually be quite short. So let's just call them 6 foot so that we can do the math very easily. He created 3 foot mini Skeletors, a whole bunch of them. And his plan was to have them overrun Eternia. The small ones, the problem was the small ones all had his singular attitude in that they should be the leader. So as soon as they started interacting with each other, like who's going to be the leader of like the world once there's only Skeletors left, even if they're mini Skeletors, well, they all thought it should be them. So they started infighting. Now the full-size Skeletor was like, well, it's obviously supposed to be me because I'm the creator. None of the little Skeletors agreed with him. So he needed to actually rebreed them to have a new sort of more subservient attitude, but he didn't think about that at the time. So, but he was willing to create a horde of little Skeletors that would take over the entire planet. And I don't know if they were going to kill everybody, but they were certainly going to make it so there were no food supplies. So he was willing to sacrifice little versions of himself. Now, Skeletor, we all know, is very selfish. So sacrificing other versions of himself, as long as it's not himself, is fine. That's a very normal sort of 80s standard attitude. So I didn't take that too hard. He once dropped firework spiders on the capital of Eternia. They were easily dispatched with one hit. So that actually just was, to me, showing he's not very smart. He started a volcano to destroy Eternia. So he's just trying to like destroy stuff. I think that's maybe the underpinning, is like he will do anything to try to destroy stuff. Now, those aren't too bad. They're very cartoony kind of plans. He regularly mind controlled people. He had no problem taking over people's minds so that they would fight He-Man. He summoned demons from another dimension so that they would fight He-Man. The problem was he never actually figured out if he needed to come to some sort of agreement with the demon. So he would summon a demon. Sometimes they would work with him. He would summon a demon and sometimes he couldn't control them. So this happened multiple times. And he never actually thought it all the way through. Like if the demon wouldn't do what he said, what was the point? So a lot of us, again, I think have the idea, like if you go through the ritual of summoning a demon, there is sort of an inherent understanding that the demon's going to do what you say. We all have the monkey's paw problem where there's a level of interpretation there where maybe it doing what you say could come back on you in a negative way. But really summoning a demon just means the demon is now in your world. That doesn't necessarily mean the demon's going to do what you say. So that's a very important point for anyone out there who's listening right now, who's thinking about summoning a demon. Just make sure, go through the rule book, see if there's any sort of like little script or anything. And does the spell that you're going to use to summon a demon into your dimension actually talk about whether or not you will have control over the demon? Because if you don't, you might want to rethink your process so that you do get some sort of caveat in there in the contract with you and the demon to make sure the demon does what you say to a degree. He did try to drain Eternia of all magic. And this meant every magic user in the world would slowly and painfully die. So we're not talking about genocide. I don't know what you call magicide. He was willing to commit murder on a massive scale to gain power. So that's where we see his actual morality. Life doesn't seem to have any real value to him. He is reckless in how he is willing to use and spend life. He's willing to create life. He's willing to use life just to further his goals. The most messed up thing, though, was he created a baby to raise. Now, the created a baby was a very vague statement, but he basically got a baby that he wanted to raise so he could marry her later. And this turned out to be Teela. Teela is a main character. She's sort of a love interest, I think, for He-Man. Man-at-Arms, sort of the leader of the army of Eternia, kidnapped her back. I guess, I don't know if it's kidnap. I guess in that case, it's rescuing. Rescued her from Skeletor and raised her as his daughter. So she's adopted. So we do have this now like weird web where if Skeletor created Teela, so we're going to go ahead and go with magic, not any sort of other gross thing that I would have to talk about. that she, if married to Skeletor, would be He-Man's aunt. As the love, it's just, is it problematic that she is sort of the love interest of He-Man? I don't think it is, because they're not related. But if your uncle creates it, is she his cousin? Like, that's actually the problem, because the creation aspect is so vague. Are they actually related? Because she's created by magic, right? I don't know. That's a tough one. I'd have to get more details on the creation process. Like, did Skeletor use any of his own flesh, let's say, to create the flesh that created the baby? That kind of stuff would become important. But he is a groomer. Like, that is 100% what happened here. He's going to raise a child to become his wife. He is a groomer. Skeletor is a groomer. So that's the level of morality we're talking about. Mass murder and grooming all on the table as far as he's concerned. Later on, he's willing to sacrifice her to one of the aforementioned demons to get the demon to come in. So his actual feeling about the thing he created, this woman that he was going to create to become his wife, he was willing to sacrifice her without question to get a demon because the demon might be more powerful. So all that being said, I think 100% the idea that he would have a problem with having personal relations with a corpse is absolutely on the table. He doesn't seem to have any morality at all. He seems to be doing whatever he needs to do in the moment to what he considers perceived gain. Now, of course, every one of those plans fails because He-Man generally throws a rock at it. I mentioned the volcano. He started a volcano. He-Man threw a rock into the volcano and plugged it up. I don't actually think that's how volcanoes would be stopped, but I think that would just create more pressure and create a bigger explosion. The writers of He-Man, not only were they inconsistent, they didn't actually spend a lot of time on physics. Probably the most interesting aspect of He-Man as a character back in the 80s, I didn't actually watch any of the reboots, so I don't know, is that he wasn't allowed to hit anyone with his sword. So his sword was used exclusively for breaking items, usually doors or walls or rocks. So if someone threw a rock at him, he would cut it in half. So there was a door, he would smash it with his sword. But he never hit another individual with his sword because of the rules of kids' TV at the time. He had a shield. He often would use the shield to block. The shield was kind of useless. Most problems in He-Man were actually solved by He-Man picking up something large and throwing it. Now, it may have been a rock to plug a hole. It may have been picking up a person and throwing them away. But that actually seemed to be most of the problems and how they were solved in the He-Man universe. But if He-Man ever came across some of these actual, real, very diabolical plans, I think it would have been time to pull out the sword and actually do some real damage.
Of the academy, chop my big chest where the best is a philosophy. Drinking at lunch brings verbal skills like a sucker punch. Woke up to see a mock B, yeah.
I just watched my viewer count drop from 3 to 1. I think the phrase Skeletor having sex with a dead body maybe turned a couple people off.